Thank you for having me, the group. Thanks for asking me. And thanks, Toby and Kathy, for coming together and making it happen. This is amazing. I was asked to speak last year as well, and my father was, I think my father was actually in the hospital. He passed away, and it was just not a good time for me. So thanks for asking me again and having me back. So step one, yikes. I got sober in October of 2006, October 29th of 2006. Now, I knew that I was powerless over alcohol, but to what extent I was, you know, I wasn't really sure about the terminology. I knew that my life was unmanageable on the outside. I knew that I was powerless over alcohol on the outside. What I didn't know was that it was the inside that was the problem, not the outside. Not everybody's been through what I've been through. Not everybody's life was as unmanageable as mine was when I came into this program. Not everybody's been to prison. Not everybody's been homeless on the street. Not everybody's prostituted. Not everybody's done the things that I did. And it, you know, that doesn't not make me an alcoholic. Those are the consequences of my alcoholism. And I learned through, you know, when I first did my steps, my first year of sobriety, you know, I did whatever it took. I had the willingness to stay sober. After working my steps and becoming an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous and helping another alcoholic is when I really found out about myself and what it meant to be an alcoholic, when I had to concede to my innermost self what was happening on the inside of me when I put a drink in my body. I knew something wasn't right, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And, you know, paying attention and going to things like this and taking notes and writing things down that stuck with me, you know, because they don't stick. They might stick for that day, but that's about it, you know. So I would write things down and go to big book studies, which I highly recommend, you know, the textbook. I learned more helping others than my sponsor could have ever helped me. Going through those first 164 over and over and over and over and over and over again, you know, is really how I learned about myself. And listening to other speakers who made it their work to dissect the book, listening to them and, you know, everybody just a little bit here and there, taking what I can. It wasn't just my sponsor who taught me, it was the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous coming together and helping, you know, and just really paying attention and having that willingness to live a different life, live a better life, you know. And I didn't even know I was going to be sober when I got sober, and that's probably a good thing. I didn't have a plan when I came here. You know, I had not, I surrendered, help me. You know, I don't know how to live my life. I don't know how to be anything but an alcoholic. Really, you know, and being anything except an alcoholic was scary to me. I know how to be an alcoholic. I know how to run the game. I know how to go to jail. You know, everybody's like, oh, I don't jail well. I do. I ain't scared. You know what I mean? And that, I think that scared a lot of people. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I don't jail well. I'm like, that was one of the permanent things in my life. Was going to jail. That was one of the most consistent things in my life for the last 25, you know, for 25 years was jail and institutions, you know. And when I came here, I learned that what happens on the inside of my body is different than what happens to a normal drinker. What's a normal drinker? That person who drinks half the glass and sets it down, ooh, I feel a little fuzzy, I'm done. And I'm like, you know what? You know, I don't never did that. From day one, I went out to get drunk. It's never, oh, let's go have some wine. I'm like, who's got the bottle? You know, pass it, you know. I didn't know what was going on inside of me. I learned here, you know, that, you know, I have an allergy to alcohol as if I had an allergy to anything else, medication or food or anything like that. When I put anything in my body that it's allergic to, something's going to happen, and it manifests itself in a way we can clearly see that I'm, you know, I'm allergic to peanut butter. I'm allergic to medication. I could die, end up in the hospital. Alcohol, different. You know, so I didn't know that, you know, I'm triggering this allergy is manifesting itself in a way that I can't stop. I didn't know that. And it didn't really occur to me till I spent some time in the room of Alcoholics Anonymous after being sober for some time. And I'm like, oh. Like somebody said something and there it was. You know, they're calling last call at 2:30. I've been there since 2:30 p.m. It's 2:30 a.m. and they're calling last call and I still can't get enough. One more, two more, three, give me three more. And not that it's going to get me to the next level. It's not. But I couldn't stop. I got to have more. What am I going to do? Where's the after party? Oh my gosh, everybody's going home. We got kids. We got jobs. We got this. We got that. I can't stop drinking. Give me some more. You know, and I learned that by reading the book and going through it with people who had a working knowledge of the book, not somebody who was guessing. You know, and it, when it came to unmanageability, I'm not even managing my own life. The court system's managing my life. You know, and you know, it's like, okay, so here I am. Okay, well, I ain't got nothing to manage. I don't have a home. I don't have a car. I don't have bills. I don't have nothing. You know, and that's not what it's about. That's not what I was taught here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was taught here in Alcoholics Anonymous that it's the inside stuff that was unmanageable. I had a problem with relationships. I was prey to fear, misery, depression, all that stuff. It's on page 52. I can't quote it because that's not how my mind works. I'm still recovering from, I think it was 86 when all that acid came into play, you know? It's like, you know, because that's what happened too, you know? I'm an alcoholic, don't get me wrong. But when alcohol wasn't working for me anymore, let me see what this will do on top of my alcohol. Let me see. I was never one of those persons that, oh, I can't do that because one of these days I'm going to end up in AA and I can't talk about that. You know what I mean? It's like, no, 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 what do you got? And I never said, what's that going to do? I took it and then we'll worry about that later. You know what I mean? I heard a gentleman speak about that. And he's like, I took this and I didn't know what I was going to do. Am I going to, like, should I lay down? Or should I start painting the house? You know what I mean? That's kind of how I was. We'll see what happens. We'll talk about it later. See if we make it through. You know, we made it, you know? So what happened on the inside of me? You know, I couldn't have a relationship with people. I was not helping anybody. I wasn't doing any of those things. It was what was happening on the inside. And if I want to reach everybody in the room, because there may be somebody that who still has a home, still has a car, has a nice, great career, you know, all those things. And if I'm standing up here saying I went to prison, blah, 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 that's what makes me an alcoholic, there might be somebody in the back of the room who has got everything still saying, oh, I'm not an alcoholic, I've never been to jail. But when I start saying I was prey to fear and depression, you know, I couldn't handle my emotional natures and all that stuff, that's where we can all relate to what's going on the inside, not the outside. Because when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, the people that were standing up here, hi.
Hi.
The people who were standing up here were dressed nice, they drove, they had a meal that day, not me. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, they didn't drink like I did because they're happy. And you hear that a lot. You know, I slithered my way into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and, you know, people were showered and they were wearing new clothes, not something out of the donation basket. You know, which there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't relate to those people. I didn't understand that they had those things because of the program and it got of their understanding. I couldn't grasp that concept, you know? So unmanageability is what's happening inside, not outside. Those are consequences of my alcoholism. Not everybody has the same consequences. You know, so when it comes to step two, I've learned, this is what I've learned. So in the book where it says we are now at step three, right before that it says being convinced. We were now at step three. Being convinced of what? A, B, and C. That I'm an alcoholic and I cannot manage my life. No human power could relieve my alcoholism. And C, that God couldn't would if he were sought. Simple. It's not that hard. You know, am I convinced of that? Am I convinced that I have an allergy to alcohol? Am I convinced of A, B, and C? And then, it's more than just the third step prayer when it comes to the third step. It's more than that because it's real simple. To me, it's A, B, and C, being convinced of A, B, and C. Am I convinced of that at that time? I wasn't sure if I was convinced of anything. Are you sure? Step three. Are you ready? I don't know. You know, no major decisions in the first year. However, made a decision to turn our will and our life over the care of God as we understood him. I don't know about you, but for an alcoholic like me, that was pretty major, you know? And it's like, okay, so when I did that third step prayer, there's some information in there after A, B, and C. Before we get to that prayer, there's a lot of information in there. And it tells me exactly what I'm doing in the third step prayer. You know, what am I turning over? What is my will in my life, my thoughts and my actions? You know, I'm selfish, I'm self-centered, I want to run the show. When it doesn't come off like I wanted to, I ain't happy. And nobody's happy. And that's still me today without a drink in my hand. 15 years later. You know, it's not a one and done. I'm still working, I'm still practicing these principles in all my affairs. The difference today is that when I make a mistake, I have the tools to go back and make it right. I have a conscience today that says, that's not how you should be acting. You know, thy will not mine, thy will not mine. You know, so there's a lot of stuff in there before you say the prayer. It's not just the prayer. What am I turning over? Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think, you know, it's like, and I learned in the first 164, when it says we, it's the first 100, you know, and it's like, if they can do it, I can do it. I don't know. What did they drink? Did they ever drink that fire water stuff? Because that was the devil. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. When I think about it, it gives me goosebumps. I'm like, oh, that was so nasty. You know, so when I've done many third step prayers. We call it in Ohio the 1-2-3 waltz, you know, 1-2-3, hi, how are you? 1-2-3 waltz, you know, it's like that's all I could do. You know, I didn't really understand. What am I turning over? And I was frightened. I don't know about this, my whole life, all of it. You know, I didn't really have one, to be honest with you. So that was my blessing, the gift of desperation when I came in here. One of many blessings when I came in here is I didn't have a fight left in me, man. I didn't. I was tired. You know, like I said, I didn't know I was going to be sober. So when it came time for me to do the third step prayer, it was nothing special. All the other times, it was pretty emotional. You know, I was in treatment or I just got out of jail, and it was very emotional, you know, doing that prayer in a church or in the park or something along those lines. It was emotional, and I felt something inside, but I didn't do anything after that. I did no work after that. So like it says in the book, it was short-lived feeling. Didn't last. This last time when I did my third step prayer, it wasn't real special. You know, and I wondered why, like, uh-oh. Like all the other times it was emotional and it was heartfelt and it was, you know, oh, I'm so ready. And I didn't do any work. Therefore, I drank again. This time I, you know, it's nothing spectacular. No fireworks, no fuzzy feeling, no nothing. You know, my sponsor said there's work to be done. You know, get writing, get doing some stuff. You know, you're selfish and self-centered. How about doing something for, you know, something good for yourself, which is following it through with some action, you know, and that's the part that I had never done before. You know, and that's the, you know, when it says, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. That was frightening to me because it's not that I didn't believe, I just didn't know to what extent I needed to believe in order to stay sober. You know, it's like, does that mean I gotta be nice to people? Does that mean I like, have to stop cussing and like be kind and friendly? Because I don't know if I can do that because I came right off the street. I wasn't friendly, you know? I'm not friendly. I don't wanna shake your hand. Don't even sit by me, you know? It's like, unless you're a guy, of course, and come on over, you know? Do you need a sponsor, sir? You know, I've been sober a month, but I can help you because I know what I'm doing here, you know? That was me. That was me. I had a lot of knowledge, but there's also people in jail, in prison, and in the grave that had the knowledge of Alcoholics Anonymous. The difference is, today I have the action behind the knowledge. I put the action in, you know, and that's a big difference. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. I don't want to go back to that way of living anymore, you know. So when it came to God, it was explained to me my own conception. And then it was explained to me a little farther on because my conception of God was from my sick point of view. So I had to go around the room and ask women with at least 5 years or more what their conception of God was. And they were pretty much all the same. You know, maybe a little bit different here and there, you know, but pretty much all the same. And it was just I could not fathom the concept of God or a higher power. Alcohol was a power greater than me, and I didn't know if there was a power greater than alcohol. There, you know, where? What? And obviously it doesn't want nothing to do with me, you know. But then again, I never got out of the way long enough for a higher power to step in. And doing that third step prayer was the beginning of getting out of the way and allowing something different to transpire. And the women in the program showed me God working in my life. Well, that was God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I'm petrified of these good things happening in my life, blessings happening in my life. I'm petrified. I'd be like, oh my gosh, this happened. Oh, isn't that great? Thank God. I'd be like, oh, because I'm going to mess it up. That's what I do. I still had alcoholic thinking. Every time something good happened, something bad happened, I jump right to the worst case scenario because I still had alcoholic thinking. I'm not better just because I did steps 1, 2, and 3. I'm not better. I still have alcoholic thinking. My life for 25, 26, 27 years, everything, alcohol destroyed this, all of it destroyed me. You know, and that's what recovering is about. Recovering all those things that before I picked up a drink, yeah, I had some issues, but man, add alcohol to them issues and it's over, you know? And it's like, no, nothing good was ever going to happen to me. These were the cards that I was dealt. This is the way it's going to be. And when I did the third step prayer and I got busy with the writing, I'm not going to talk on that because that's not part of what I'm speaking about. However, when I did the work is when I started to see God working in my life. You know, it's like I came to believe my life is unmanageable, no human power, blah, 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 all that stuff. And once I started doing the work, then little bits and pieces of me got out of the way and the sunlight of the Spirit could shine in. And people said, that's God. That ain't you. That's not what you would have done. You would have screwed that up. And you didn't. That's God. Get on your knees and thank God, because that's not what you would have done. That's what my sponsor told me. And the women in the program told me, that is not what you do. Oh, I got a job. Thank God, because you are unemployable. Nobody wants you. You know what I mean? Don't screw it up. You know? Oh, I got a car. Oh, boy, you better thank God. Because you know where your car drives to. You know, it's like co-pilot, bar, you know, it's like, no, a blessing. It's a blessing. Don't screw it up. You know, I was petrified. I was scared. Oh, I got a car. Oh my gosh, it's over. Oh my God, I got a job. Oh my God, I'm going to get drunk. And I didn't. My sponsor said, you better thank God because that's not what you would have done. The willingness that you have is carrying you on to the next level in your recovery, you know, and gratitude, attitude of gratitude, you know. And I didn't have anything, to be honest with you. I do have a son and I have 2 stepchildren now, but that was gone. And all I had to focus on was my recovery. No treatment this time, no jail treatment, no treatment center, nothing. You know, and they said $9 for a big book. Do you know how many millions of dollars I spent? Not me. I ain't got nothing. But my parents and the state paying for me to try to get better. Lots of money. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm saying you start where you need to start. My recovery started in jail. That's where my recovery started. I'll take every bit I can. Because I don't know about any of you, if you've ever been in jail before, but there are ways to get drunk in jail. Did it. You know, the med cart comes around, you want some Tylenol? Sure. Hey, you got a headache, but I'll take some Tylenol. You know, that's me. That's how I was. And by working these steps, by knowing exactly, I'm conceding, when I stand up and I say, I'm Sherry, I'm an alcoholic, what am I saying? I drink too much. Oh, I got something going on inside of me that don't happen to the normal drinker. Whew, I'm allergic. Don't give it to me. I break out in handcuffs and stop. You know, that's what people say. You know, I'm allergic. I break out in handcuffs. You know, if I'm lucky, I get handcuffed. You know, but an alcoholic like me, I don't die. I go on miserable for the rest of my life, and I don't want that. I've got a beautiful life today, thanks to a power greater than myself in Alcoholics Anonymous, the men and the women in this program. You know, we are not a glum lot. We have a great time in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's room for growth always. Always, always. I'm always open to listening, open to hearing, opening to those one-liners that my little brain could comprehend. I did a lot of damage up in here. Like I said, it's like, I think it's like from 84 to 88. I don't know. I know it was there. I lived through it, but I don't even know, you know. I can't really grasp a whole lot sometimes, you know, and I'm going through menopause, so that doesn't help. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so cold in here, and then I'm like, you know. So it's like, I can't comprehend a whole lot, but those one-liners stuck out to me. You know, people said those one-liners, and I was like, oh, you know, we'll find out how that relates in the book, or how do you relate, how does it relate in the book? Because I'm always directed back to the book, always directed back to the book. Work out of the book. I can't, you know, I can't stress that enough. You know, if I can identify with the problem in the book, I can find my solution in the book, that's for sure. And I used to hate that. What step are you on? the one that's getting me a little closer to you, you know. You know, just those kinds of things. You know, one day at a time. Oh gosh, no, what about tomorrow? Oh, just stay in the moment, you know? But that's where I'm at today. And I find those things, I must have been paying attention when I first got sober, because I find now those words coming out of my mouth to other people, you know, to the newcomer, you know, just stay in today, because I've learned along the way the importance of doing so. And how there's enough stress in this 24 hours, or there's enough going on in this 24 hours. I don't need to go into tomorrow. I don't need to think about yesterday. There's enough going on right here in front of me. Let me take care of that if I can. And if I can't, that's okay too. Whew. You know, what a relief, because when I came here, I ran the show. You know, I was the one directing everybody, and I still do that, okay? Let's make that clear right now. you know, you stand over there, you stand over here, you do this, you do that, you do this, and whew, okay, everything's good, but that ain't happening. Everybody's running around, and I'm like, ah! You know, but that's okay, because you know why? I don't pick up a drink, period. That's the whole miracle of it all. We are not saints. The point is, we're willing to, no one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. It's okay to say, I made a mistake in Alcoholics Anonymous. Few, quite a few. Made a bad decision. Quite a few. Miracle of it all is, I didn't drink. That's the whole simplicity of this program. We're not 100% anything. If we were, we wouldn't need the program. I don't need a power greater than me. I'm fine. I am not fine. The longer I stay sober, the more I rely on that. You know, it's because, you know, if I think I know what I'm doing, I'm in trouble. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't always say, okay, let me run this by God first. Not always. I'm like, hang on, God, I got this. I'll be back to talk to you when I screw it up. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, I know. You know, it's like we're human beings, we're alcoholics, for God's sake. You know what I mean? It's like, relax. Take a breath. We made it here today together. That's what's important. I'm not dead and I'm not locked up. Thank you, God. Anything from this point on, it's going to be all right. As long as I don't drink, which if I don't do the book with a sponsor and do the steps that are required of me, because that's what it says. The first requirement in step three is that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. There's a requirement in step three, not just a prayer, a requirement. You know, it's like those musts in the book, the requirements in the book, the prayers, the promises in the book, all highlighted. I didn't know there were so many in there. 9-step promises, sure. I knew those because they read it a lot of meetings where we're from. Every meeting reads the 9-step prayer. I didn't know that there was pretty much a promise after every step in the book, if not more than one. You know, so it's real simple. You know, it's real simple. Don't overcomplicate it. You know, is there something that I should be doing? A lot of the girls ask me that. Now that we're been gone, we'll have been gone for 3 weeks when I get back home. So what should I be doing? Have we just met? You know, I'm that kind of person that I am that kind of person. But your job now is to help somebody else after I've done that work with you. You know, and we get so close to that. You know, and get through all my steps. I did all my steps. Who are you helping? Nobody. Then you ain't done all your steps. You know what I mean? Then you're not doing what is required here. I've sponsored, you know how many people I've sponsored? And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. In 15 years, I sponsored numerous women in 15 years. Do you know how many of them also have 15 years of sobriety? Zero. But guess who does? Me. It doesn't tell me in the book that I'm promised that I'm going to, you know, cure everybody because I'm some guru of AA. It doesn't say that. But it says, in turn, I will stay sober. Got to do the work. Got to do the work. There's no getting around it. Unless you want to be miserable sober. Yeah. No thanks. No thanks. You know, so 1, 2, and 3, keep it simple. You know, resentment's the number one offender. Get busy on that. You know, it's not a requirement that I believe all those things, because I honestly, it took me a few months of sobriety, a few years maybe even, to really concede to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic, because I didn't really even know what that meant. I was in a fog. Came to believe a power greater than me. Like, alcohol's greater than me. Is there a power greater than alcohol? I don't know. Made a decision to turn my will in my life over. I said it. I said the prayer. I'm not real sure if anybody heard me. Not real sure if I even want to. Not even sure if I know how. But I was willing. And then I got busy doing the work. You know, it's really that simple. Don't overcomplicate it. You know, did I do it right? Probably not. Probably not. They didn't say, oh, you got an A on your 4th step. You got an A on this little writing. Oh, you did great. They said, wow, you're really up. I know. Just like me, you know. And then people would share with me the things that they did. Like, you know, I'm looking at women and I'm like, oh, she's got it so together. Look at her cute little boots. You know, look at her little pin. Her hair is so pretty. You know, she's got it together. You know, I was like such a mess. I never, ever thought in a million years I'd be living the life I'm living. If you would have told me, I'd have been like, not me. I'm married, this poor guy. You know, I didn't get married till I was, how old even was I? 42 when I got married. Many tried, but I'll tell you, after a couple months, they were like, you know, this chick is crazy. And I'm still crazy. You can talk to him after the meeting. He'll tell you. I'll tell you. I know I'm crazy, you know, but I'm better than I used to be. I don't get drunk. I don't go to jail. And I help other people. That's my purpose. I have a purpose. I'm chosen. If you ever get a chance to read that, If God Spoke in AA or Why We Were Chosen, I highly recommend it. Of all the people God could have chose to help another alcoholic, he chose another alcoholic like me. I got nothing for you, man. But I got some working knowledge of the big book. That's what I can do. And I used to hate when people would throw things at me out of the book all the time. You know, no, I need your help right now. Did you pray? Yeah. Didn't pray, but let's get on with it. You know what I mean? Yeah, did you pray? Sure, yeah. Okay, now what? Well, you gotta wait, you gotta stand, take it to God again. They knew that I didn't pray. We know if you're praying or not, you know, because we've been there, done that. I want to know what the answer is, and I want to know right now. That's not how good things come. You know, I know what's behind the door of alcoholism. I don't know what's behind the door in recovery, because every time it's different. If you've ever seen The Wizard of Oz, where it's black and white in the beginning, that's how it was during my alcoholism. And then once I got sober, it was like she opened the door and everything's in bright technicolor. That's how my recovery is for me. You know, there's some wicked witches and some little munchkins sometimes and all that craziness, you know what I mean? But it's really beautiful, you know? It's beautiful. All the things I've seen and the places I've done, the people I've met, nowhere else on earth. My husband says, greatest show on earth, Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have to agree. I've met so many people, buried a lot of people, done so many wonderful things in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a beautiful life that we have. And my hope is that everyone puts in some effort to save their own life. It's a lot of effort out there. It's not as hard in here, you know. And for me, it was like when the effort got less, I didn't think I was doing it right, because I was so used to drama and chaos and running and gunning. You know, it's like I'm in the state of Florida, and you know why? It's not because I'm running from the state of Ohio. You know, it's like, you know, we got to go to Puerto Rico on vacation. And then they let me leave, they let me in, you know, it's like, wow, I didn't have to like hide my bag or, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, it's like, oh, sure, check my bag, you know, I'm not like shoving it off on him saying, here, carry this, you know, let's see what happens to you, you know. but that's pretty much all I got. And again, Kathy and Toby, thank you for coming together and inviting my husband and I here today. Thank you.